The category I was released under was alien awaiting security clearance. That was my official classification. Now, that's important to me because you see, at the start of the Second World War, there were a lot of Chinese residents in Canada. They were not citizens. They were not allowed citizenship. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Chinese population in Canada at that time could not become citizens. They wanted to join the army to fight in World War II on behalf of Canada. And universally, they were all rejected as aliens. Okay? They persevered, they struggled, and they actually joined and fought for Canada. One man I know took a horse when he was turned down in Kamloops, BC, rode a horse across the Rockies to Calgary to sign up. Another man I know I've met was in Windsor, Ontario, was turned down by the Canadian Air Force recruiting station in Windsor, Ontario, hitchhiked to Chatham, Ontario, and signed up with the army there. So these guys and gals, there were women as well, Chinese women as well, and Asian women as well, joined the Canadian military and fought for Canada. As a result of that, they then started a discussion after World War II, which basically asked the question, how can we deny this population citizenship when they have fought for the country? And that's why the Chinese population in the late 40s were allowed citizenship in Canada. Why is that important? Without citizenship, the Chinese population in Canada would have been limited to ethnic-based businesses, laundry, grocery stores, restaurants, convenience stores. Their children could not become doctors or dentists,
lawyers
or engineers or any of the professions because you needed to be a citizen.
Right?
So the sacrifice they made, even though they were called an alien, opened up the door of Canada to the rest of us. So that night when I received the Legend Award, I told them the story and I said this in the end. I therefore accept this award only because I'm standing in their shadows. They're the ones who paved the way for me.
It's a very powerful
statement. And that's
why,
thank you, but that's why I'm honored to be called an alien.
I understand. Mr. Wong, you also received the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal from the left-handed Governor of Ontario, the Public Affairs Special Recognition Award from the Assistant Deputy Minister, Public Affairs, and you also received an award from the Department of National Defense. On top of everything, another award that you received is the Southwest Asia Service Medal from the Canadian Forces. These are a few of the many awards that you have received. What would you say was the most memorable moment that you've had receiving an award?
Well, I have a UN peacekeeping medal that I received in Asmara, Eritrea, as part of my mission there. That was very memorable. I have the pleasure, and really it was a pleasure and an honor to serve in the armed forces for so many years. And you know, yes, I have the medals to show for it. The Southwest Asia medals is for my time in Afghanistan, for example. But let me tell you this, and sometimes when in ceremonies, in citizenship ceremonies, children especially would point up at my medals and ask me what they're for. And I'll say this to anyone. The medals that are on my chest belong to my daughters, my two daughters. They symbolize, like each medal means something unique. I appreciate it. But the medals in total symbolize the sacrifices my daughters had to make for my career, for my desire to serve, that they had to sacrifice. So those medals symbolizes the all the missed birthdays, the celebrations. I miss my older daughter's graduation from University of Toronto. because I was in Afghanistan at that time. The place that I did not get to see, the sports games that they participated in that I did not get to attend, that's what those medals symbolize to me now. Not what individually meant, but collectively. And I've told my daughters, they belong to you.
That's, again, a very powerful statement. Oftentimes with individuals who are very successful, mm-hmm. they make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You have to give something to get something in return. Mm-hmm. And for the youth out there and the young professionals who are beginning their career, it's oftentimes useful to have a mentor, have someone mm-hmm. that they can look up to as a role model. Obviously, with your background serving over 38 years in the Canadian Armed Forces and being a part of the military, you've had a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experiences that have shaped you. And I think that all of the listeners who have tuned into this podcast today should look into the advice that Mr. Wong has been so generous and kind to provide all of us with. And you should look at the reasoning as to why you make a decision. Mm-hmm. Always question, whenever you're making a decision, think about the outcome. Mm-hmm. Think about how that decision will end. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's something that my grandma mm-hmm. told me growing up.
Long
time ago. And she said, for every action, there's always mm-hmm. a consequence, a good mm-hmm. one or a bad one. But whatever decision it is that you make, mm-hmm. know that you're the one who will have to live with those consequences. If you contribute, if you make contributions to the community that you live in, if you are a responsible citizen, if you pursue your dreams, mm-hmm. that's the beauty behind living in Canada, mm-hmm. is that we are all provided with accessibility mm-hmm. to education. Mm-hmm. There is no reason for anyone mm-hmm. not to become educated. If mm-hmm. they choose to pursue that path, then, you know, there are universities and colleges out there that provide programs for everything and everyone out there. But at the same time, once you do become educated, then there is no reason for you not to go out there and apply. And once you have that job, it's so important to be serious and to understand that if you work hard, that work will be recognized. Yeah.
I would also say this, and I'm glad you're very kind to recognize that, you know, I have a lot of experience.
Yes.
I would also say to anyone out there and anyone in front of me that it is your life. I do not want to lead my life through you. You have a rich and wonderful life ahead of you. Mm-hmm. It is for you to execute and prosecute it. However, having said that, you can, of course, learn from people with experience. But I ask you to take that with a little bit of caution. I do not want someone to emulate exactly what I do or copy what I do because, frankly, I'll tell you, I made a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. So we can learn from each other, of course. But it is for you to structure your life. Again, I come back to passion.
Yes.
Find out your passion and do it and then ask others. But you still, in the end, have to make your decisions. There's something that you said that's actually very important that we don't teach at school. We're given the privilege as human beings, the ability to think. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, Magdalena. Please exercise that thinking function. It does not come innately. It does not come without practice. It is a function that needs to be exercised at all times. One thing that your grandmother taught you is so true. One of the things that we learn in the military is you need to think of not just the consequences of an action, but you need to think of the second and third order of effects. Now, so if I do something, what is the consequence? And what are the effects? And what are the effects from the first effect? And what are the effects of the second effect? So, for example, I want to be a lawyer. Consequence, I need to beef up my marks to write my LSAT. If I decide to wing it, then the effect is I might fail. The effect of that effect is I need to, if I fail, then I have to look for a second, another career. Mm-hmm. The effect of that effect is that if I look for a career, other career, I now also need to think about what my passions are. So it's the effect after the effect. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we are too short-sighted. We take an action. We sometimes might even think of what the consequence of that action is, but we don't go beyond that.
That's true.
Okay. If I decide, let me give an example. If I decide to drink and then I decide to drive.
Yes.
The consequence is readily apparent. I think everybody agree I should be arrested and caught and therefore a consequence. But what is the consequence of getting arrested? You need to think about that. And
Absolutely.
What's the consequence of that, of the next effect? So the second and third order effects is, I think, what we need to train ourselves to think of all the time. Now, that way, you become strategic.
And strategic analysis is fundamental to being successful, not only in a team setting, but on your own, independently. I think that oftentimes people take that for granted. They don't realize the consequences affiliated or associated with their actions. It's very easy to be abrupt or be impulsive and to make a decision and to decide that, you know, no, I'm not going to study for the LSAT. I'm just going to go into it and wing it. Well, then what's going to happen unless you're a prodigy?
And some do pass that way.
Some do. Some,
not many.
Not many. Some. And I've known students who were gifted, just prodigies and talented, and were able to go into a, you know, barrister and solicitor exam and to do well without studying. But for most of us, it's that strategic planning and that ability to think of, well, how much time do I need to study for this exam? What are the consequences of me not reading this chapter? What are the chances that this might be on the exam?
Yeah. Or can I skip it?
Or can I skip it?
Then you're strategic. Now, having said all that, I know I'm laying a lot on your audience, your poor audience. I'll just put one more thing out there.
Yes.
We should not be afraid of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think our society has come to a point where we think that all mistakes are to be avoided and mistakes are fatal. In my experience, if there's anything that I've learned, is that mistakes are rarely fatal. There are some mistakes that will be fatal, so I'm not discounting that. But we should learn how to accept that we will make mistakes, hopefully small, and that we'll learn from them. Because when we avoid mistakes, when there's a huge avoidance or aversion to mistakes, I find we don't move, we don't learn.
I strongly agree with you. I think that everyone has failed at some point in their life, academically,
all made mistakes, yeah,
professionally, personally. And if you have not failed, you have not lived.
Yeah.
Because the failures are what allow you to grow and develop.
It's a part of life.
And you have to, you have to look at every failure as an opportunity to look at what you did right, what you did wrong, what changes should be implemented, how you can improve.
Yeah.
And it's not something that should be, taken harshly.